Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Remember, John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," talking about being made free from sin. And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So God's word defines for us what the truth is, and we're only going to be set free from sin, be saved from our sin, by following the truth. That means if we're following false teaching, we won't be saved. That's why we emphasize doctrine and morality here on this program so much. One thing I've heard so many times in my life that's really, when you examine it, false is this thing that many churches say over and over and over again, that all you have to do to be saved is, quote, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Have you heard that? I've heard that. I'm sure over the course of my lifetime, I've heard that at least 1,000 times. You'll be saved if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, did you ever read about that exact wording in the Bible? You'd think as many times as people have said it, you would read personal Savior, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior all over the Bible. You don't really read it in so many words. But I'm going to assume the best and assume what they mean by that. And I think they do mean this. They mean by accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, they mean the same thing we read over in Acts 8:37, where Philip told the eunuch that if you want to be baptized, you have to believe with all your heart. I think that's what people mean by accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So even though you don't see those exact words in the Bible, you do see words that teach the same thing as what they're teaching. To be saved, you have to believe in Jesus with all your heart. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, the problem I have, though, still remains, because when people say all you have to do to be saved is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's equivalent to all you have to do to be saved is believe in Jesus. But let's see how that works if we substitute it in to Mark 16:16. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But people mean accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They mean by that believe in Christ. So let's substitute that in to Mark 16:16. For believe, we're going to substitute in accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So here's what the way Mark 16:16 would read. "He that accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and is baptized shall be saved." So it's not enough just to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you mean by that believe in Christ, which is what I think most people mean by that. You have to not only accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe in Christ, but you have to be baptized. Again, let's substitute again. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in for believe in Mark 16:16. You'd have Mark 16:16 read, "He that accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and is baptized shall be saved." So it is not true that all you have to do is believe in Christ to be saved. It is not true that all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be saved. The truth is accepting Christ, that properly defined, and obeying Christ are both required. Talking about Jesus, Hebrews 5:9 reads, "He became the author or the source of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." The only people who are going to receive eternal salvation are those that obey him. So if somebody accepts Christ as their personal Savior but doesn't obey Christ, they're not going to receive eternal salvation. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. The lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. So not only do we need to accept Christ as our personal Savior, but we need to obey Christ as our personal Savior. Matthew 7:21 proves the same thing, as it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice, if you want to go to heaven, you have to do the will of the Father, God the Father, which is in heaven. Suppose somebody accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they don't do the will of the Father. they're not going to be in heaven. So obviously you got to do more than just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You got to do more than believe. You have to obey. The song, one of my favorite hymns, if not my favorite, Trust and Obey, gets it right. A lot of people sing that song, but they don't really believe the words that they're singing. They teach that all you have to do to be saved is trust God. This says you have to, that song says you got to trust and obey God to please God. Here's another verse I'd like you to consider. Acts 10 verse 35. He that worketh righteousness is accepted with him, God. If you want to be accepted by God, you got to work righteousness. It's not enough just to believe in God. You have to work righteousness. How about James 2:24? For by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, that directly contradicts the teaching of many churches. The Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, as examples. Here's the Methodist Creed book. The Methodist Creed book says, justification by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. So they're saying in no uncertain terms that justification is by faith only, but this verse from God's book says by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, who are you going to believe? Justification is by faith only, Methodist Church Creed book, or justification is not by faith only, God's Creed book, the Bible, James 2:24. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, part of it reads this way. They were judged every man according to their works. So we're going to be judged based on whether or not we believe in Christ. Sure thing, for sure. But we're also going to be judged according to our works. Obedience is required to be saved. That's what we're saying here. That's what that verse is saying. That's what all of these verses are saying. Obedience is required to be saved, Acts 2:38, and obedience is required to stay saved. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death and you will receive a crown of life. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. One other passage on this line of thinking, Galatians 5:6. It teaches that the thing that avails, the thing that profits is, quote, faith which worketh by love. The point of the verse is that circumcision or uncircumcision does not avail. Doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not. But the thing that does avail, the thing that does matter is faith, and I'm quoting, faith which worketh by love. So we have to have all three attributes. If we have faith, but we don't have works, obedience, then that's not good enough. Even if we have faith which works, that's not good enough if it's not motivated by love. It takes faith which worketh by love. Leaving off faith or leaving off works or leaving off love, that will not avail when it comes to our salvation. I mean, that's what Galatians 5:6 says. I know a lot of people want to argue about it, but that's what the Bible says. So accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you mean by that believing in Jesus with all your heart, Acts 8:37, that is a good thing, but it's not enough all by itself to save you. Again, substitute in, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for believe in Mark 16:16, which is, we're assuming everybody's saying that's the equivalent, believe. Mark 16:16, which says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you substitute in, accept Christ, it would say, he that accepts Christ as his personal Savior and is baptized shall be saved. It takes more than just accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Now, so let's talk some more about baptism, since that has to come after accepting Christ or believing in Christ, and it's also necessary to salvation. I just read Mark 16:16. Let's read the whole verse again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. That teaches baptism is necessary to salvation, just like the following parallel sentence. He that eateth and digesteth his food shall live, but he that does not eat shall die. Or how about I put it this way? He that swalloweth his food and digesteth his food shall live, but he that does not swallow his food shall die. You see, some people will wonder in Mark 16:16, why it doesn't mention baptism in the second part of the verse. And the reason is because if you don't believe, baptism is irrelevant. Same thing with this illustrative sentence, he that eateth and digesteth his food shall live, but he that does not eat shall die. If you don't swallow your food, then digestion is a moot point. You can't digest your food if you don't swallow it in the first place. You can't be scripturally be baptized if you don't believe in the first place. That's why it says, if you don't believe, you're going to be lost, because it doesn't have to mention baptism, because if you don't believe, you can't be baptized anyway. If you don't swallow your food, you can't digest it anyway. That's why the sentence says, he that swallows and digests his food shall live, but he that does not swallow his food shall die. You don't need to mention digestion there. You can't digest if you don't swallow it. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Here's John 3 verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Obviously, what Jesus is saying is born of water and of the Spirit is, whatever that is, you got to do it. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God without it. You can't be saved without it. What is born of water referring to? Well, water baptism is the only thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water. The only thing. And Romans 6:4-6 shows we begin our, quote, walk in newness of life, and that our old man is crucified. Those two phrases are analogous to the new birth phraseology, terminology. That's the point at which of our baptism in water. When we're baptized in water, when we come out of the water, our old man is crucified and we start walking in newness of life. That pinpoints the enforce when our new birth occurs, and that's at baptism in water. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. We're buried with Christ by baptism. We come up out of the water, we start walking in newness of life. If we are not baptized in water then, according to John chapter 3, verse 5, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We cannot be saved. 877-655-6755 is the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment. How about Acts 2:38? God says there, to believers, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In 37, those Pentecostals that had evidently believed, they wanted to know what to do to be forgiven, to be saved from their sins. According to most churches, since they already believed, most people say you don't have to do anything. You're already saved. You already believe. That's not what Peter said. He said to these people who'd already believed, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So it's not enough just to believe. It's not enough to trust. By itself, you got to trust and obey. A believer has to repent of his sins and be baptized to get the remission, the forgiveness of sins. Again, that shows you got to do more than accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You got to do more than just believe in Christ. You got to repent of your sins and be baptized. If you didn't have to repent, then the gay church would be saved. They believe in Christ, but they're not willing to repent of their sins, are they? They want to keep on living in homosexual sin. They're not repenting. And people are not being baptized for the remission of sins. How about Acts 22:16? Now remember, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, of course, later became known as Paul the Apostle. It's found in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. If you're looking at Acts 22 or Acts 9, you see that Saul is this very strict, zealous Jew, so zealous that he thinks of Christianity is a false religion, and he thinks he needs to persecute these people. He's putting them in prison, Christians, having them executed, but he's sincere. Acts 23:1 says he lived in all good conscience until this day. He thought what he was doing was right. He was way off track, but he thought it was right. I guess because he was sincere, the Lord appeared to him supernaturally on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? Paul says, well, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Then Paul says, what will you have me to do? Meaning he believes that the Lord is Jesus now. What do you want me to do? Jesus replies, go on into the city. It'll be told you what to do. Saul goes on into Damascus. He's there 3 days. In the meantime, Jesus sends Ananias to tell him what to do. Here's what Ananias tells Saul to do in Acts 22:16. Remember, Saul's already believed in Jesus at least 3 days before. Saul's already really religious, very dedicated religious in the Jewish religion. But he's not saved from his sins because Ananias tells him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The fact that he was a dedicated Jew didn't mean he was saved from his sins. The fact that he became a believer in Christ 3 days before didn't mean he was saved from his sins. He still needed to be baptized to get his sins washed away. Let me read that again. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's what it says. Why argue against what the Bible plainly says? Isn't this the book that tells us how to get to heaven? If we're going to argue with it, obviously we're arguing our way out of heaven. We're all agreed. It's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. There's nothing magical in the waters of baptism. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. Revelation 1:5. 1 John 1:7. But the question is, when does it wash away our sins? When we believe? When we trust? Or when we're baptized? When we obey? Well, with Saul of Tarsus, he believed on the road to Damascus, but at least 3 days later, he was still in his sins, and he was told to be baptized to get his sins washed away. So it's clear, 100% for sure, that you got to be baptized to get your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Your sins are not washed away when you believe. We're not justified by faith only. We're justified by works and not by faith only. James 2:24. Saul was not forgiven when he believed in Christ. He was not forgiven at the moment he, quote, accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Not then, but when he was 3 days later, when he was baptized, when he obeyed Christ as his personal Savior. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment about this or any other topic in the Bible, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Here's 1 Peter 3:21. I wish we had time to read the whole context, but we've read the whole context on here many times. It says, verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This verse, this passage is arguing that the physical salvation of Noah, the eight souls, through water, prefigures our spiritual salvation by water baptism. Now, it doesn't teach that baptism is the earning basis or grounds for our salvation. No, the death of Christ, the blood of Christ is the grounds. But it does teach, 1 Peter 3:21, does teach our salvation is conditioned upon baptism. What else could it mean when it says baptism saves us? Well, it's not saying that baptism saves us in the sense that that's what earns our salvation. No, the blood of Christ pays for our sin. So it must be saying baptism saves us in the sense you have to be baptized to be saved. It's not enough just to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you mean by that, believe in Christ, which is what most people believe. You also, besides having to accept Christ as your personal Savior, you also have to be baptized according to these passages. We've read a number of them. Acts 2:38, 22:16, Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us. There's no way God would say baptism saves us if all you had to do was believe in Christ to be saved. You didn't have to be baptized, because it would be so confusing for him to say baptism saves us if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved, if all you had to do was believe in Christ to be saved. Am I right? Wouldn't that be totally confusing to say baptism saves us if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved? Of course it would. We know what these verses are teaching. Unfortunately, all of us are tempted to try to get around what the Bible says in many places, to try to support and prop up what we already believe, maybe what our parents believe, or maybe what we needed to switch believing in order to get married to our spouse. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. If you want to ask your question or make your Bible comment on the air. How about Galatians 3:26-27? Here's the way that reads. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let me take this call while we have it on there. Mike from Arizona, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. My question is that I've been wondering for a while I've listened to some Seventh-day Adventist people talk over the years. A lot of what they, most of what they say is right on the money, but there's some points of contention. One of them was, did Christ say to the thief on the cross when he said, "Today with me you'll be with me," or "Today I say unto you, you'll be with me in paradise," or was he saying, "I'm saying to you today you'll be with me in paradise"? And then I thought back, it brought up a point about when before Christ had ascended, I think it was Mary Magdalene. She approached him and he said, "Don't touch me. I haven't fully ascended yet." So I'm wondering, how could he tell the thief on the cross that that very day he'd be with him in paradise if he hadn't fully ascended yet?
Because paradise is not referring to heaven. Paradise is referring to the comfort part of Hades. And that's exactly where we see Jesus went, right? I'm going to read to you, Mike, good question. I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 2. In verse 27, and it's talking about Christ and his death. It says, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades." So Jesus went to Hades. If you were to read Luke chapter 16, verses 16 through 31, you would see Hades described. The rich man and Lazarus are both in Hades. They both died. The rich man goes to the torment part of Hades. The Lazarus goes to the comfort part of Hades. That's right. Where Jesus and the thief are. They're in the comfort part of Hades, and they were there that day. And I've done some research on that question. When you say, when Jesus says, and the New Testament says, such and such today, it's not talking about "I say to you today." It's always talking about, in this case, they'll be in Hades, they'll be in paradise that day. That's the way the wording always works. And it's consistent that way. The today goes with the second part. Not the first part. Not that I say to you today, but that I say to you, today you will be in paradise. Today goes with you'll be in me, with me in paradise. He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the comfort part of Hades. The Bible talks about that is Hades.
I have another kind of part of the question.
All right.
They also said that, I guess when they went through the Bible, there was no punctuation. They had to come up with their own punctuation. One of them being like a comma, and just moving that comma, one word changes the whole meaning of the whole thing. And I thought, well, then it was whoever moved that comma decided where that comma was going to go that really had a lot of sway in what people are thinking.
That reminds me of 1 Peter 3:21. It says, "Baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh." One argument against baptism is they'll say, we should say, "Baptism doth also now save us not." They're moving that they switched the "not" over to "baptism doth also now save us." So, yeah, you can get a lot of false doctrine that way. Mike, I'll try to come back to you if I have time. Diane from Wisconsin,
yes.
Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi. Well, I was thinking about when you were talking about baptism and how I know you needed to be baptized to be saved also, you know, accept and be baptized. But I was born Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, very conservative, so I was baptized as a baby. And I've since gone to a Baptist church and really accepted Christ, really figured out relationship, you know. And, like, when you were talking about it, it's like, I know you only need one baptism for the remission of your sins, right? But I don't think mine counted. And I'm like, I think I might need to be baptized again. Just because, you know, they thought I could be just as a kind of an outward that the old is gone and, you know, washed off. But I'm like, I think it's necessary. What do you think?
Yeah, let me read that last. I've been reading a lot of passages here, but let me read that last one. "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. So it says you're a child of God by faith, but then the word "for" that begins verse 27 means to introduce the reason. The reason we're children of God by faith is because we've been baptized into Christ. And notice we're baptized into Christ, Diane. That means until we're baptized, we're not in Christ, not in fellowship with Christ, not in the saved relationship with Christ. So you do have to be baptized to be saved. And baptism is a burial, not a sprinkling. Diane, I'm going to call you after the program to talk to you more about this because I have to go off the air right now, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Very good question, Diane.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. If you would like a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753.